Good morning. You're about to get experienced with the winner, the Pennsylvania Outdoor Writers Association and the Mason-Dixon Outdoor Writers Association's award for Best Outdoors Radio Program. Experience the Outdoors, hosted by Doyle Dietz on Magic 105.5 WMGH, AM 1410 WLSH, and Sunny 1100 WGPA. Experience the Outdoors is brought to you by Shakey's Gun Shop, Orrigsburg. Now, here's your host, Doyle Dietz.
And we are having just too much of a good time in here, the studios, as we get ready to bring you another edition of Experience the Outdoors this morning. Hope everybody's enjoying their summer. Man, I'll tell you, hey, the 21st, the third of the four Sundays in July. And I'll tell you, it's slip sliding away, isn't it? I know already some of the high school football teams are getting serious about preseason preparations, and they're experiencing the outdoors in their own way, that's for sure. Anyhow, we are approaching, of course, the final weekend in July, and that means the Gunmakers Fair at Kempton, an event like no other. And we're going to have, from the National Muzzleloader Rifle Association, Dave Eric talking with us about some of the things that will be going on at the fair. I have a feature in today, and you know every year I write about either an artisan or someone who's there, but I kind of laid it out that if you're looking to purchase a flintlock rifle, going to the Gunmakers Fair is the thing to do. Oh, if you want to, you can hit up a professional builder. They sometimes have some on sale. Usually it means placing an order, but there are lots and lots of hobby builders there that just enjoy building these rifles, and they'll go around to different shows like this. They have them for sale. They trade rifles, so you could sometimes save money there. But if you are in the market for a flintlock rifle, do not wait until hunting season and go to the limited selections at box stores. Dixon Muzzleloader Shop, of course, Kempton, they sell them. But last year, with like 6 weeks to go to the start of the flintlock season, Greg Dixon didn't have a flintlock rifle in the store. They were gone, and they're tough to get. So we'll talk to Dave Eric. Things that are going on this week, don't forget, tomorrow you can get your second round of antlerless tags. Whatever WMU that still has antlerless tags for sale, you click on, you get it, and, you know, depending how much the demand is for the antlerless tag you want, that'll determine how long you wait. At Sweet Arrow Lake, the clubhouse, Tuesday at 7, there's a demonstration, Summer S'mores Without the Campfire, by Penn State Extension Nutrition Education Advisor Kim Woodford. I must admit, I have never been a fan of s'mores, but that puts me in a very much of a minority, I know. So this should be interesting for you s'moresaholics. Thursday, there's Trap at the Orrigsburg Gun Club, 5 to 6 for youth, 6 to 9 for adult. Schuylkill County Sportsmen's Association also meets that night at East End Gun Club. Saturday, Friends of Tuscarora and Locust State Parks are having a volunteer day. 9:30 a.m. they meet at Tuscarora State Park Visitor Center. Go up, meet these folks, get involved with the group, get a lot done. Of course, this fall will be their Bark in the Park event. And just a great bunch of folks that do a lot of good work. Hey, I'd like to brag on two of the guys that are the main correspondents for the outdoor section of the Republican Herald. They're also members of the Mason-Dixon Outdoor Writers Association with me. And last weekend, we had our conference down in Silver Spring, Maryland. Myself, Tyler Frantz and Joe Fox. We won Mason-Dixon Outdoor Writer Awards, Excellent in Crafts Awards. I earned for Outdoor Ethics and Sportsmanship. I took first place in that. And in Conservation Environment, I took a third place. So very proud of that. Frantz, in the Wheeler Johnson Best Newspaper Feature, he took a second. And in the blog, he took a third. And in the Memorial Rotating Art Award, he took a third. Fox, for Outdoor Photography, took a third. Best Magazine Article, he took a third. And what else did he take a third in? I know he took another a third place. So, yeah, we were pretty happy that our work was recognized. Coming up Saturday at Sweet Arrow Lake County Park, Common Pennsylvania Tree Identification and Cultural History, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Sweet Arrow Lake County Park. Register online at nwtf.com webpage for the Saturday, August 3rd, Lehigh Valley NWTF Jake's Youth Field Day and Extremes. All the information's off there. The Youth Field Day for Jake's 8 to 12 years old, Extremes 13 to 17. If you cannot find one, you can go online to the Pennsylvania Game Commission website and find hunter-trapper education courses for you first-time hunters that have never had a license. And you can find out if there's one near you, and if not, you can take it online. Oh, let's see. This came in, it's a little ways off, Sunday, August 11th, 2 p.m., Frog Hollow Nature Area. There's a yoga hike. Shoots today, 3D shoot at Swatara Archer's Pine Grove. Go online, get that information. The Tim Stein Memorial Youth Trap Shoot, Saturday, August 10th at Muddy Creek Sportsman's Club in Branchdale. Register at 1, start shooting at 2. And, of course, shows the Gunmakers Fair at Kempton this coming week, Friday and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to take a break, hear from our sponsors, and come back and talk with Dave Ehrig.
Shakey's Gun Shop, 221 East Market Street in Warwicksburg, carries a great selection of new and used handguns and long guns, magazines, scopes, holsters, parts, and reloading equipment. Shakey's Gun Shop buys firearms and firearm estates. Turn your unwanted guns into cash for you. Gunsmithing and repair and special ordering also available. Open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. Wednesday and Sunday closed. Appointments must be made for transfers. Call 570-366-0179 and visit ShakeysGunShop.com.
And welcome back to Experience the Outdoors. And as promised, my good friend Dave Ehrig, who is editor of Muzzle Blast magazine, my July issue just came today, Dave, for the National Muzzleloader Rifle Association, and he is one of the people that will be representing whatever he represents at the Gunmakers Fair at Kempton this coming weekend. So, Dave, good morning and welcome to the show again.
Thanks, Doyle. It's always a pleasure to hang up my flint and steel and talk to you a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yes. Dave actually lives in a log cabin that's heated by a fireplace. And I don't know how he gets that flat screen to work with whatever. But Dave, what will you be doing at the Gunmakers Fair? Running around representing the NMLRA? Will you be doing any seminars, or what will they have you doing?
Oh, everything. Besides doing seminars, I'm the public address announcer. I'm at the Visitors Information Bureau ad infinitum. It's just one of those deals where you help out wherever you can. And let's first of all talk about what this show is.
Yes, that's what we were going to get
said
into.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's July 26th, 27th, and 28th. And we can't wait to see the public again. The public has supported us so well over the years. You know, now that we're going into 40 years of Gunmakers Fair and the last three of it being at the Kempton Community Center, it's just amazing when you think about how long this has been going on, and yet it's still a vibrant hobby for many of us, and for some of us, it's even a vocation. The Gunmakers Fair is actually the name we use so people are familiar with it, but our new name legally is the 18th Century Educational Alliance. And why is that important? Well, our mission is to keep the 18th and 19th century history alive by promoting education and preservation of all the early American arts, as well as building and reconstructing our historical muzzleloaders and accoutrements. And to do that, we bring in artists and craftsmen from all over the country and even Canada. It's just an amazing place. You will never, ever find anywhere in North America all the variety of everything muzzleloading that we have at Kempton.
That is a great idea, that name change I wasn't aware of. And, yes, you know, when you say Gunmakers Fair, it does in the minds of people kind of limit it, but it's so much more than that. And you try to tell them that, but the whole thing that got it started when the late Chuck Dixon, God, I miss him, he started this, and it was with the idea of gun builders to come together to exchange ideas and get parts, do this and do that. And it's become so much more than that.
Oh my goodness. It sure is. When you think about all the seminars and demonstrations that are being done live in front of people and just a couple of feet away from them, they really see firsthand all the artistic works and all of the metallurgy and all of the talent that goes into barrel making, rifling, inletting, carving, blacksmithing, woodworking, redware, pottery, spinning, weaving, powder horn construction, engraving, leatherwork, and on and on and on. And that's why we had to broaden the title to 18th Century Education, because it's just so much more than just guns, although guns will always be the most important part of this show.
The thing about the flintlock, even people who are nothing short of anti-gun, they are fascinated by the flintlock rifle, and they will either buy historically those that are reproduced or find originals simply to display in their homes because of the historic value. These rifles that helped us win our country, our independence, kick the living tar out of Britain twice. Not once,
yeah,
but twice.
People seem to forget that we had a second revolution.
Yes. And, of course, before we took on the British, they were our friends because we were them, and we kicked the tar out of the French. So these flintlock rifles have really, really... When you talk about the gun that won the West and people think of the Winchester repeater, well, the gun that won America was definitely the flintlock long rifle, no matter what the history revisionists have to say. But my goodness, these rifles have been built, and right here in our area.
Yes, absolutely. Going back really far into history, not just around the American Revolution against Britain, but way back to a time when the Europeans were first making settlements in this country. They carried their European fusils or French fusils, the Fowlers, what we would call a shotgun today, as well as the newfangled rifle guns, which gave them their accuracy and made them something that the rest of the world sat up and take notice to.
Well,
and in order to do all that and get it to the public, I'm going to very quickly run down a list of seminars. On Friday, we have basic carving and engraving, starting up the forges in order to get the barrels forged and to put that octagon barrel together, rifling it, meaning putting the grooves on the inside of it. Wood is a very important part of the rifle. And here in Pennsylvania, we're blessed with maple trees that have a curl to them, and they're just drop-dead gorgeous when they are carved and inletted into the barrel and the lock. And that's probably the number one thing that people notice, and well, they should, because guess what? This is our state rifle, the Pennsylvania Flintlock Rifle. I'm very proud of that.
Yes.
And good choice, and a lot of people, a lot of history went into that decision by our state legislature. Anyway, moving back to seminars, after you get the gun built, you want to use it. And one of the seminars, which I'm proud to offer each year, is Hunting Pennsylvania Whitetails with a Flintlock Rifle, because that is so much of a learning process in order to do it accurately and successfully. So each year I throw out a whole bunch of hints for people. I have my book there, Muzzleloading for Deer and Turkey, and just a whole lot of information that I throw into an hour, and then following it up with questions and answers, which usually takes another hour. And in the past, we had all our seminars back-to-back, and the next seminar person was always tapping their foot waiting to get on stage as I finished up. But now we have separated and given more time to each of the seminars, which is great. Now, and if you're carrying a flintlock rifle, you got to have a leather hunting bag and also powder horns. And we have some of the most talented leather workers and powder horn construction craftsmen in the world. I'm not just going to say in the country or in the state, but we have people coming from everywhere, from Georgia, from Washington, from Maryland, Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, you name it. Name a state and they're here. And you will get to meet them up close and personal. I guess a popular saying is press the flesh, but you will talk firsthand with all these artisans and just marvel at what they have on their tables and the information that they can convey. And that's really the whole point of the Gun Makers Fair, is sharing information. And it goes both ways. The craftsmen learn from the people who ask questions, as well as the people asking the questions from the craftsmen. We have knife forging, we have lock forging, tuning, timing. We have horses. Jerry Messmer, as he does his treks around the hardwood forest of eastern North America, takes all of his clothing and his tools with him on horseback, and he proudly shares that at the folk festival, at the Gunmakers Fair. There's just so much. We have primitive encampments, people living in lean-tos and teepees and all that kind of cool house that you take with you that doesn't have wheels. We have food, yes, very important for people coming. And most of all, we allow people to get in for $5. Unless they're 15 and under, they're free. Now, think about that. A family of four. Typical American family. Where can you go anywhere to get all-day entertainment and education for $10?
Right.
I mean, that's incredible.
Because, yeah, chances are, you know, the kid's 15 and younger. If they're older than that, they're probably coming on their own with their girlfriend and their buddies. So, yeah, for mom and dad, they only have to worry about putting out $10. Hey, the food is great there, and they do have some stands where they cook some authentic dishes you can try. Also, you got to have something to eat it on. And the craftsmen that are there that make the redware pottery, oh, my God. I want to give a shout out to my friend Selena Kennedy from up in Muncie. Her work is fantastic. I didn't realize how many we had till I started going through Betty's stuff. And so I have it out on display on a china closet. But gosh, it's just fantastic. Dave, I always do a sort of a preview feature for the Republican Herald, and instead of writing about one of the craftsmen that are there, I wrote about all the different hobby builders, people like Bob and Jerry Rubo, who build rifles just because they like doing it, and they put them out, and then they sell them. And I suggested, if someone needs a flintlock rifle, don't wait till this fall and go to a sporting goods store, because they're probably not going to have it. Go there and walk around at the gun makers fair, because you're going to find some handsome custom built rifles that are on sale for what you would pay for a factory reproduction. Also, you can talk to these people because they take trade-ins, and they'll take a trade-in, and they don't have to get as much for that as they do for one they built. But Dave, there are bargains to be had for the person who wants or needs a flintlock rifle.
Absolutely. And that's one of the main reasons why we exist. I'd like to give a shout out to the organizations too that helped put this thing together. Starting with the Pennsylvania Federation of Black Powder Shooters. They are, for the most part, our worker bees, and you'll see them running around with their federation shirts on and so ready to stop and talk to you, explain to them why they like to have rifle frolics and compete with these guns. They'll give you some pointers and tips on shooting accurately, as well as the culture, the lifestyle of sleeping on the ground in a lean-to or a teepee or a lodge of some sort of canvas. We have the National Muzzle-Loading Rifle Association, which I'm tied to as their editor of their magazine, Muzzle Blast, which is the backbone coming in and helping us with insurance and organizational things. We have the Honorable Company of Horners, who some people call them the geeks of muzzleloading, because they are so intelligent and their wares are so gorgeous. If it can be made from early American plastic, a.k.a. a cow horn, they make it. And they make them beautifully. They engrave them. They're just things that you hand down from generation to generation. And last but not least, we have a historical society from Jacobsburg that comes in to share the history of the Henry rifle. And, there's just so much going on at this thing. If you come for a day, you've missed half the show. If you come for 2 days, you might see all the show. If you come for 3 days, you'll walk away with your head spinning with all the information that you garnered. And that information's free there. It's just a deal of the century.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I got hooked on this hobby, I think it was about 77 or 78, when the late Don Houck, many of you know Donnie from Schuylkillhaven, and he told me while he was broadcasting a Schuylkillhaven football game, because he knew I was in history, he said, you know, you ought to come over to Blue Ridge Rifles, our muzzleloader club over at Summit Station. And I said, what? And the following spring, Betty and I walked in on the grounds with our poor old English sheepdog, Sherlock. And when he heard the first flintlock go off, he was terrified. And I looked at Betty and I said, boy, this looks like fun. And I got membership. By the next year, we were camping, but in the modern area. And I said, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. So we went primitive, and we really both took up on it as a hobby and learned the historical background on this stuff to the point where I've done seminars up at the state park. I suggest anyone that is a little uncertain to go hear Dave give his seminar on deer hunting. I mean, when I say this guy wrote the book, yes, he literally wrote the book. His muzzle loading for turkey
and deer. Deer and turkey.
But he has some others there that he had written. I mean, you know, smaller paperbacks. But hey, Dave, Maryland is going to have a primitive season. It's only not even, I don't know if it's going to be a full week, but I think it's going to be the first week of February, and it's only going to be for flintlock and primitive percussion. They're going to allow percussion in, but that's great. Another state is going to have a flintlock season. So Joe Byers asked,
that takes us from 46 to 47 states.
Wow. Well, Joe asked me to bring a couple of my rifles and talk, because a lot of the writers from Maryland, they've never even shot a flintlock rifle. And two of the people were there. They shot my long rifle that Dave Motto had built me. So that was good. Maybe I exposed. The big thing is, if people are going to write about this, to make sure you write, you get their facts right. I'll never forget, I almost spit my coffee across the room. I was reading an article, this goes back more than a decade, and somebody was saying that if you're not getting sparks, take a file and rough up the frisson. And that's the last thing you do. The frisson is smooth. In fact, that's what's neat, the little things. You know, the rifle goes off because the flint is so sharp it shaves off little pieces of steel from the frisson to drop in the pan.
Absolutely.
Right? That's what sets your
rifle. Yeah, and that's why people need to come and talk to the experts. In fact, we have two black powder, well, from the National Muzzleloading Rifle Association, Black Powder Hall of Fame, Jim Fulmer and Don Blazer, on the grounds. These guys are walking encyclopedias of information. And to help people, I'm giving away for free this month's July edition of the Pennsylvania Game News and an article that I wrote about these two gentlemen. So if you want a copy, come to my seminar. Plus, if you go visit the NMLRA tent, they are giving away Muzzle Blast magazines for free, which are so full of information.
Oh, and incredible. What a fine publication. So, Dave, my plans are to be there Friday. First of all, renew my NMLR membership, then visit with some friends that I know. And when that's done, I'm going to sit and bug you in the information booth, and I'll help you man the information booth. So,
I'm looking forward to that.
My friend,
you'll be in good company.
So thank you so much for coming on, that we could talk about this so the listeners know about it. And for goodness sakes, get your butts over there if you're a muzzleloader hunter, or you think you're a muzzleloader hunter, and you'll be glad you went. So and stop by and say hello. Dave, thank you.
You're welcome, my friend.
Okay, and thanks for listening, folks, and thanks to the stations and the sponsors, and thanks, Yardley. Sky Dog, give us some one way out to experience the outdoors.
You've just been made experienced with Experience the Outdoors, winner of the Pennsylvania Outdoor Writers Association and the Mason-Dixon Outdoor Writers Association's Best Outdoors Radio Program Award. Experience the Outdoors is brought to you by Shakey's Gun Shop, Orangsburg.